the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Although it is home to the world's most famous golf course, as well as Scotland's oldest university, St Andrews also witnessed one of the bloodiest and most notorious events in Scottish church history. And as they make their way along the scores beside the old castle, towards the harbour, an ice cream in their hand, I wonder how many of St Andrews' many visitors notice the letters GW in the cobblestones outside the castle, or pause to read the nearby plaque. If they do, they will learn the letters GW stand for George Wishart, and they will also read of the gruesome fate he suffered on that spot. Born in Mearns, Kincardineshire in 1513, having studied classics at the University of Aberdeen, Wishart's working life began as a schoolteacher in Montrose. Wishart soon found himself in trouble with the Bishop of Brechin because, teaching New Testament Greek, he helped his students, his pupils, read the Bible for themselves. Accused of heresy, Wishart fled to England and then to the continent, to Switzerland and Germany, where he encountered the teaching of John Calvin and became immersed in the Reformation movement. Returning to teach at Cambridge in 1543, the following year, Wishart returned to Scotland, where he quickly gained a reputation as a Reformation preacher. His powerful, charismatic sermons popularized the teachings of both Calvin and Zwingli, two of the European reformers. His reputation grew, and Wishart attracted considerable public attention, including that of an erstwhile unknown Scottish cleric, John Knox. Unfortunately, Wishart also attracted the wrath of Cardinal Beaton, who ordered his arrest. He was seized in Ormiston in East Lothian. He was tried at Edinburgh Castle. He was transferred to St Andrews, and he was burned at the stake on the 1st of March, 1546. And such were the gruesome detail of his execution, it provoked a violent, hostile public reaction. And within weeks, some of Wishart's friends took revenge on Cardinal Beaton, killing him at St Andrews Castle and hanging his remains from the castle battlement. Although it was short, Wishart's 33 years proved extraordinarily influential, and he inspired Knox and others to challenge the orthodoxy and practices of the church of his day. Indeed, if it had not been for G.W., George Wishart, the popularity of his preaching, his appeal to the common person, the brutality of his death, and the reaction it generated, it is questionable whether the Scottish Reformation would have happened in the way it did, or even if it would have happened at all. Sadly, however, it would be a mistake to think religious persecution and martyrdom is a thing of the past. Earlier this week, my colleague and close friend Ian Gilmer, a man well known to many in this congregation, flew out to spend 9 months as the locum minister at the Scots Kirk in the Sri Lankan capital of Colombo. The church is situated in the heart of the city, and on Easter Sunday last, as worshippers gathered, they heard a bomb explode in the neighbouring Cinnamon Grand Hotel. It was one of a series of blasts that ripped through hotels and churches in the city that day. 207 people lost their lives, over 500 were injured. The then locum minister, a man called Bill Davney, who's a Presbyterian minister from the United States, said that if people wanted to go home, they were obviously free to do so, but he was going to remain. He would conduct the Easter service. Almost everyone stayed for the service and for the Easter brunch that followed. Refusing to be cowed by the terrorist activity, determined to affirm their faith, the Easter faith, in the dying and undying love of our Savior Christ. And yet today, across the world, Christians in Egypt, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Muslims in Burma, Baha'is in Iran, Hindus in Pakistan, Falun Gong followers in China, Buddhists in India, Jews in the Middle East, people the world over are being discriminated against and attacked for no other reason than their religious convictions. Religious persecution is alive and well. And a Westminster all-party parliamentary report concluded the denial of religious freedom of practice, the denial of religious belief, is the most widespread of human rights abuses, not a century ago, but today, 2019. And from the evidence gathered, the report concluded that of all the religious traditions experiencing persecution, the heaviest price is being paid by Christianity. Here's what Baroness Cox said during a House of Lords debate. She said, the faith tradition now suffering the most widespread and systematic violations of religious freedom is Christianity. It's estimated that there are at least 250 million Christians suffering persecution today from harassment, intimidation, imprisonment, torture, and execution. As you set off for church this morning, as you walked or got in your car or the bus to come here, did it cross your mind that coming to church would be a cause for harassment, intimidation, imprisonment? Did you think it might lead to your family, to you and your family being tortured, executed? Of course it didn't. Of course it didn't. But this morning, the day of worship for Christian people the world over, that's the reality for many of our Christian sisters and brothers in Sri Lanka, where Ian will be taking the service this morning, and elsewhere. Instead, we all came to church today, and among other things, we knew that we were going to choose 13 people to serve on the nominating committee to call our next minister. In 1843, a period in Scottish church history known as the Disruption, about one-third of the ministers, elders, and members of the then-established church left the Church of Scotland. And the oldest minister to leave was a 78-year-old man called George Muirhead, the minister at Cramankirk. Muirhead left the church to which he'd given his life in order that congregations like us should have the right to call their own minister and not have someone imposed upon them by the presbytery or by the landowner or by the crown or whoever. Along with some of the elders and members of Crammond Church those years ago, Muirhead established what was called Crammond Free Church. Free? Free to call its own minister. It's now Davidson's Mains Parish Church, but that's a sermon for another day. The point is that 176 years later today, we are able to do what we will do today because, like George Wishart and George Muirhead before, they were willing to stand up for what they believe to be right and proper and true. When the crowds came to hear him teach, one of the things they heard Jesus say, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth, the sky, How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? As we read about him in this section of Luke's Gospel, the picture painted is not of Jesus meek and mild, kind to children and sweet to old people. This is a passionate Christ, passionate in his repudiation of the false teaching of the Pharisees, passionate in his desire to see justice and peace, justice and truth prevail in public life, passionate in his teaching of the disciples, passionate in his commitment to the kingdom of God, a crisis approach, one in which his own fate would be the central feature, and to his dismay, neither the disciples nor anyone else could see it. They were farmers, they were fishermen, they were good at judging the weather conditions. They knew clouds rolling in from the Mediterranean meant it would rain. If it was a south wind from the dusty Negev, it meant it would be hot. How come? How come they couldn't read the signs of the times with its Roman occupation, the oppressive regime of Herod, the wealthy, arrogant high priest, the false agenda of so many of the Pharisees? How come they couldn't discern that in his acts of healing, his feeding a great crowd, his raising Lazarus to life, his stilling a storm, how come they couldn't see that in him the kingdom of God was near? And why wouldn't they stand up? Stand up for what he was telling them was right and proper and true. George Muirhead died 2 years after the disruption. He's buried against the east wall in Cramond Kirkyard. I walked past his grave earlier this morning quite purposefully. I thought about him, and knowing what we would be doing this morning, I hoped he would feel his efforts were worthwhile. The freedom to worship, the freedom to belong to a church, the freedom to practice our faith, the freedom to call our own minister is not a freedom enjoyed by everyone. These are not freedoms any of us should take for granted. Rather, as the cobbled stone initials GW or the actions of George Muirhead remind us, such freedoms have been hard fought, and sometimes they have been agonizingly won. Furthermore, as we exercise them this morning, these are freedoms to be cherished, to be protected. Because if we don't, who will? Let us pray. Now, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.